What are some of the first words that children instinctively say? It's mine. That's not fair. There is an innate sense we have as humans that I need to look out for me because, well, life is not fair. There's a strong connection between these two sayings. Because we are all prone to self-preoccupation because of original sin, we can say, that's mine, this is mine, 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 and on it goes. But this can lead us to conclude that we experience something that at times what we think is rightly our due, we do not receive. And so we also say, there's a lack of justice, it's not fair. Consider how this can play out in the home, where parents can favor one child over another by privileges extended to one and not to the other. Think of how this can play out in politics, where one part of the country feels neglected because those in power are courting another part of the country to the detriment of the area where the neglected citizens live. Think of how this plays out in the experience of First Nations communities, where there's a desire to articulate more and more an interrelationship that is respectful and equitable, allowing for a greater say in how these communities are governed, and this can seem so elusive. There is within Catholic social teaching an understanding of the relationship between rightfully respecting what is mine while at the same time ensuring justice for the larger societies in which we live. And the two words that the church has used to express this are the words subsidiarity and solidarity. What do I mean by subsidiarity? Subsidiarity is the principle that helps us to ensure personal rights, while solidarity looks out for the rights of the society as a whole. Let me elaborate a little bit more the principle of subsidiarity. It states that a community of a higher order should not interfere in the internal life of a community of a lower order or by depriving the latter of its functions. Rather, the higher order should support the lower order in its activities while at the same time needing to respect the common good. And so then the principle of solidarity, as Pope St. John Paul II expressed it in his encyclical on social concern, says that solidarity affirms the need to recognize the common good, that one is related to another, and we are responsible for the all. Now you might say, what in the world did you just say? And let me just use a couple of illustrations to explain how this does play out in our public life right here in Alberta. In Alberta, it is the government's responsibility to ensure that there are standards of education that are required of all of our schools. This is the principle of solidarity. There are curriculum requirements that all students are to fulfill, and the common good of the society as a whole requires that these criteria be in place. However, the principle of subsidiarity is also affirmed, where the community of the higher order, that is, the government, is not to interfere in the community of the lower order, that is our school boards, that is our parents, that is our communities, so that parents can choose for themselves what they deem to be the best way to educate their children, and that cannot be dictated by the state. There are three types of schools in our province that I would just speak of right now that I think illustrate this. People can send their children to public schools, to Catholic schools, or they can join a homeschooling association. And in each case, the principle of solidarity is that the government is there to ensure standards, but the principle of subsidiarity is also in place so that parents are free to choose what is best as they see it for their children. Another example would be in the area of obstetrics. In Alberta, a woman can choose to give birth to her child in the hospital or at home. In both cases, the government pays for the service, the principle of solidarity, while at the same time respecting the choice of the parents, the choice of the woman, to choose where they will give birth, either at home or in the hospital. This is the principle of subsidiarity. Now, I've brought these two words forward today because I think it's very important for us as Catholic Christians to understand the interrelationship of these terms in light of tomorrow's federal election. One of the things that we want to consider when casting our ballot is which leader and which party will most fully respect the interplay between subsidiarity and solidarity. Now, let me just say one more thing about this. The principle of solidarity requires that governments ensure that we are becoming better stewards of the environment and so need to work towards greenhouse reduction. That's the principle of solidarity. However, the principle of subsidiarity would say that this cannot be at the expense of those people in the energy sector that are being penalized in a particular way so that they do not have the opportunity to be employed or to work towards a more green environment if this is jeopardized. And I think that as Catholics, there's a particular way we have to have a voice in this conversation where we have to keep together both solidarity and subsidiarity, especially here in Alberta, as we think about an industry that is important and critical to all of us, while at the same time we have a love for the environment and the world in which we live. But we can't focus on one at the expense of the other. All of this brings me now to wanting to say the following. As Catholics, we realize our responsibility to be good citizens, and we are therefore invested in the care of the social fabric of our country, of our province, of our cities, of the communities where we live. However, we also have the perspective that is able to articulate that what is even more fundamental to our daily lives than politics is our faith. Jesus in today's gospel speaks honestly about those who are in positions of power who have no respect for the interrelationship between subsidiarity and solidarity. In this case, it's an unjust judge. He has no concern for the woman at the level of subsidiarity, but he has no care for solidarity because he has no care for the common good. All he cares about is himself. And enter into our story a widow who is persistent in her pursuit for justice. Now, I want to highlight one part of this reading that we miss in the English translation. Let me read it to you first in the text that we had Deacon Stephen read. And here the judge is saying, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming to me." Now, it says here that she may not wear me out. The New American Standard translation, which is different from the one we use at Mass, is closer to the Greek original. Let me now quote this from the New American Standard. "Because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me." Now, the verb that's translated "wear me out" or "strike me" in Greek is the word hypopiazzo. Hypopiazzo, it's actually a boxing term. And St. Paul uses this word in Corinthians, where he talks about boxing the air or shadow boxing, an imagery of punching. So what is the literal translation of the judge's words? It's as follows. I will deliver a sentence and a decision for her, lest she come and give me a black eye. This isn't just the persistent widow. No, she's the violent widow. And perhaps you've known old ladies like this. You don't want to mess with them. And that's the kind of woman that's being described here. Basically, the judge is afraid that if he doesn't give the woman the verdict that she is asking for, she will do him physical violence. Now, why in the world would Jesus tell a story like this? Because Jesus is always using stories and giving us an exaggeration in order to make a point. And the point is in part this. Regardless of who's elected tomorrow, we'll still live in a world where justice will not always be done. Where not every province, every situation, every area is going to be represented as perhaps we would want to. But just because we face these difficulties in our world should never lead us to the application that God is like that. What Jesus is wanting to get at is this, is that if this judge will respond to this woman, will not the true judge bring about true justice? Catholics have always understood this, that we are to be confident, that we are to persevere for the right, even in the face of great wrong. And this has inspired Catholic social action for many, many years, especially in the last 150 years. For you see, as Roman Catholics, we understand that it is because our faith is more important to us than our politics that we can be politically concerned for the societies in which we live. So in conclusion, on the eve of this election, may each one of us who has the right to do so exercise our privilege and our responsibility to vote. And regardless of what happens tomorrow, may we affirm that what is most important in our daily lives is the gift of faith, whereby we trust in Jesus and his teaching that has been passed on to us through the church. This is a theme Paul articulates in today's epistle, where he says all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. You see, the person of faith is primarily inspired by the timeless and universal teaching of the church. And when we have this kind of perspective, when we are cultivating more and more a Catholic worldview, this allows us to see our national political life within a much larger perspective. In a world that is at times not fair, we believe that we pray with today's psalm, "My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." We give thanks for the great gift that we have in being Canadians, that we have the freedom to vote in a democracy, that we have the freedom to choose a government based on our informed decision, while at the same time, we are free to come together today to assemble in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is for this reason that you and I are called to be faith-filled citizens on election day and on every day.